I ministered something down this line last Sunday, and I got a letter, an email from the pastor of the church, and said, it's so refreshing to hear such a powerful word, even if it was from a Pentecostal. We weren't in a Pentecostal church last Sunday. No, we're not just one thing. Paul said, I'm all things to all people so that I may reach some. And this ministry doesn't just reach. Brother Payne, I'm kind of peculiar. I love the Holy Ghost. And I love to speak in tongues. But if I'm a church where they don't believe in it, I ain't going to do it in my microphone. I don't want to cause confusion. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Listen, I may not be able to bring you to the level of faith that I'm in, but that doesn't mean God can't speak through me to you to reach the level of faith that you're at. So I can't expect you to come where I'm at. And we do the same thing to the whole world out there. Brother Payne told me tonight, he said, I want the prostitute. I want the drug addict. I want that person that's undesirable to come into the church and to know Jesus. And I said, that kind of attitude is going to shake your church to the very foundation. Why? What are you going to do when that person comes in, looks like they got their eyes and their lips sewed shut, piercings hanging off of every orifice of their body, 4,000 earrings hanging out their face, and all the rest of it's tattooed? You know those people are out there here in Keokuk. What are you going to do then? Are you going to turn up your nose, or are you going to be the man or the woman of God that God called you to be them and meet them at their level of faith? It takes a lot of faith just to walk into a church. I had a guy tell me the other day, I'm not coming to your church. I said, why not? He said, if I walked in the doors of your church, it would fall in. I said, I can promise you, I have personally reinforced the rafters, and it is sturdy. It's not going anywhere. You come. If it falls in, I'll pay the insurance. What are you talking about? I don't care what it takes to get them in here. If we can't go to them, they need to come in here. We need to drag them in here. Every move of God that started in the last 100 years, I mean amazing move of God, did not happen because somebody was seeking a thrill. It happened because men and women were on their knees praying. How many of you have heard the Azusa Street Revival? Have you heard of Azusa? Let me tell you what happened. Three little old women met in an African Methodist Episcopal church over in Los Angeles. And down there on Azusa Street, in that little Azusa Street mission, they would pray every day for 2 years that God would send them a man to preach a word. They weren't looking for revival. They were looking for a word. Why? Because if I can get a word from God, it will change my situation. We don't understand the power of words. We don't understand the power of words. The Bible says, out of the mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My mom was in the hospital over Easter, and we went to see her, and she said, have you heard the song, I'll Pray for You? How many of y'all have heard this country song, I'll Pray for You? Raise a hand. I got cracked up in the hospital room. I said, he's never been to a DHM service. I pray that your brakes go out going down a hill, a flower pot falls from a windowsill and hits you in the head like I want to. I'll pray for you. That's not a blessing. That's a cursing proceeding out of that mountain's mouth. Now listen, if you're going to curse your neighbor, understand that you've just turned the attention of God and the devil to the words that have come out of your mouth, and that curse kind of boomerangs out there and comes right back on you. Watch this. When you bless your neighbor, that thing goes out of your mouth and it boomerangs and it comes back on you and anybody that's behind you. So not only you, but you, your family, your church.
Amen.
I want to be blessed. I know a lot of ministries in this world today are not doing right. I've personally seen a lot that I can tell you. They want to compromise a message. They want to preach a message that will get people in the house. And Brother Chuck, I'm sorry, but that's just not me. I don't care if you come to see us or not. What I care about is that God shows up.
Amen.
Because if God shows up, that means two things. One, I'm in his favor. Two, you're where he needs you to be. Amen. What more could we ask for? Now, I'm glad you're here tonight. Don't get me wrong. I am honored that you come out to revival. We are. But if you wouldn't have been here, we'd have still had service because we want to see God move in Keokuk, Iowa. Amen. We want to see God move right here in New Beginnings. And if you're from a visiting church, we want to see God move in your church. Amen. So what are you saying, Brother Mike? Look, three little old women prayed every day for God for 2 years for God to send a man with a word. And from Louisiana, God sent a little man over to Los Angeles. And he began to just simply stand up in the pulpit with three women and himself and preach the gospel. And the power of God fell in that little Azusa Street mission. And when I say fell, I mean fell enough that the Assemblies of God, the Pentecostal Church of God, the Church of God in Christ, and most every Pentecostal organization came out of the Azusa Street revival. That's revival. It changed this nation forever. And I don't know exactly where, though I've met Jackie a couple of times, I know it's out there. Same thing happened. Two little old women got together. They couldn't afford the mortgage on the building, but they got together and said, we're going to pray until God sends someone. Jack was in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and he had closed that church. Now, if you want to know a pastor at the end of his rope, it's a pastor that's taken a church and had to close the doors and lock them forever and knowing that no service under that organization will be held in that place again. That's a broken man. Because no matter what anybody says, it feels like personal failure. That was Jack Hayford. Probably most of you didn't know that, if you know who Jack is. If not, just watch TV. He's on there quite regularly. He gets up and he goes out to, I think it's Santa Barbara or something like that. It's out there in close to L.A. And he goes to this church where those two little women are praying. And he starts to pastor with the idea that God called him to that church to close the doors. He said, God, I'm going to be faithful over one thing. I'm going to pray for this community. So Jack said, I went out every morning at 7 a.m. and I walked the streets of my town and I said, God, I claim this valley for you. Every house, every person is going to know your name. Every house, every person is going to know your power and your authority, whether it's through our church or not. I claim this town for you. Now that's some dedication to a man who's only preaching to three people. His wife and two ladies prayed him in. That church today has five services on a Sunday morning, two sanctuaries, and there's somewhere in the neighborhood of, I believe, 4,000 people per service. What happens is, and this is nuts, I don't ever want to be a pastor of something that large. I don't really ever want to be a pastor anyways. He preaches here, and this one's filling up. He gets done, he says amen, someone else does the altar call, and he goes over here. And that happens five times so that the people of the valley can come in and hear the word of God. That's vision. But that's not our church here in Iowa anymore. Our church here in Iowa says, bring them to us, Lord, because we're tired. How many of y'all have felt tired recently in your spirit? Tired of plowing. You know what's amazing about the farmer is, back in the old days, they used a mule and an old broke-down plow, and they'd get that plow and they'd walk every step of the field. Every step they'd walk. They'd get to the end of the row and they'd turn it around, and they'd walk that field again, every step, every inch. They'd get to the end and they'd turn it around. This didn't happen once, but it generally happened twice during the planting season, once to break up the ground and once to really work it. That's dedication. Then the tractor came along. I know a man today, he's Varick's grandfather. He said, Brother Mike, when I was a kid, I worked a mule to death. Then we got a tractor. And he said, I didn't like it, so I went back to the mule. I could make the soil what I wanted it as long as I worked it by hand. Listen to me carefully. If you're going to make church grow, one, God's got to be in it, and you've got to get behind the vision of the pastor.
Amen.
Two, it's by hand, and it's hard work all the way. I'm reminded tonight, if we would, just for a minute, 1 Kings chapter 19. And we're going to talk about Elijah for a little bit tonight. How many of y'all know that at that point in time, Elijah was God's man for the whole house of Israel? I want to talk to you about the condition of the church today, because it's found right here. Most of you know the story. Most of you have never heard it quite like this. If you're wondering, I don't watch TV to get inspiration. Although I could, I don't. I believe in something slightly more old-fashioned. I get on my knees. Weeks before revival, I'll fast the whole week. I'm not talking about every meal. Unless God really moves on my heart to do every meal, I got to be smart about things. But what God asks me to give up, I'll give up. Sometimes it's just lunch. Sometimes it's to go on a breakfast and lunch pulse diet. I hate pulse. I'm not a rabbit. I can only eat so much salad. I found out, though, I really do enjoy a spinach salad. Just saying. Why? Why do you do it? I do it so that I can be in tune with his voice, in tune with his word, and he can speak a word to me that will change where we're at. It's simple. This is not a light office to fill. This is serious business, friends. And it's not my business, it's his business. And as long as I'm faithful over his business, he'll be faithful over what we're doing. You're no different than me. Some of you are wondering why God hasn't showed up in your life in a while. It's because, like Elijah in verse 9 right here, what I'm getting ready to read, you have ran and you've hidden yourself away, thinking that you're doing something smart when all you're doing is fooling yourself. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 9. He came thither unto a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him and said unto him, "What dost thou hear, Elijah?" God literally says to him, "What are you doing? What in the world are you doing here?" Man, friends, when mama would ask me, "What do you think you're doing?" I knew my party was over. Whatever I was lighting on fire, whatever I was getting to shoot across the creek, it was done, friends. Because I'd been caught. And judgment was on its way. Well, I'm here to tell you that God is no different than my mother. He's got eyes everywhere. If y'all understand this, amen.
Amen.
Some of you have some good mamas too. He's got eyes everywhere. And tonight he says to this church, "What are you doing here, hidden away, thinking you're covered? Because until you're in my will, out there doing what I've called you to do, you're not covered, you're just in hiding." Whew. That's a good word. And he said, "I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars and slain your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it." Where are they going to take it? Away. What he said is, "Your people are so wicked, they're trying to kill me, and I'm trying to live." It's not much different than the church house today, is it? Seems like every other time you turn around, there's one more restriction put on how a church can function. It won't be long if the IRS gets their way. We'll no longer be able to be tax-free. That's a crying shame. Because what we're supposed to do is to lift each other up and build a community. That's what the church is for. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Let me stop right here just for a minute and say this building is not the church. But it's you and 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 you. And you. You're the church. I tell you what, friends, if we took all this equipment outside and we had church, we'd still have church. Because this building is nothing more than a beautiful place where we can come and gather out of the elements. Say amen.
Amen.
The people in the church are the church. So when the government puts one more restriction on the church, it's not just on your pastor or the leadership of this place. It's on you. I want you to understand that. It's on you. When the government comes in and says you have to marry this couple and you have to marry that couple, it's on you. It's hard, but it's true. Verse 11. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the rock, rent the mountain, and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle. He went out and he stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came unto him a voice. There came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? Friends, there are movements of God across this nation. You'll watch them start in California and end up in New York. Or start in New York and end up in California. They just blow across and they're strong. I'm kind of thinking of a Choir of the Fire. I'm kind of thinking of a Promise Keepers kind of thing. They just blow across the nation, but it's not long before it's fizzled out. And it's not that God wasn't in it, but it wasn't to last. And we built whole churches on things that aren't to last. There are revivals that have grown up. I'm thinking of Pensacola, and I'm thinking of whatever that one is up in Toronto. I'm thinking of these outpourings, the Smithton outpouring. They're great earth-shaking revivals. Some of the worship music that came out of these places are amazing. I love the song Redeemer, Savior, Friend. Came out of the Smithton outpouring. Amazing song. How many of y'all I heard, I went to the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from me. I took back what he stole from me. Pensacola, Florida, revival, where that song come from. I'm honored that these big movements of God have come. But friends, they're like the earthquake. They just rumble and then they're gone. There's evangelist after evangelist will come in and preach you happy, fiery sermons. And they'll preach until they're red in the face. And they'll preach until you're under conviction. Problem with those fiery sermons is they don't get inside where it just boils and it burns. Why? Because in that still small voice that comes and says, I love you. You're where I need you. But I need you to fix this. It's that I need you to fix this that makes us better. Amen. I can preach until I'm red-faced. I was taught that way. I can do it. But I find it's infinitely easier to preach a simple, straightforward word that you can digest. and it can get down on the inside of you. And you can begin to kick rocks and find that joy cometh. I hope every time you see this, you think of little redheaded Brother Mike. And it cracks a smile across your face because you remember where you were the night that this message was preached. You remember where you were the night that even Brother Mike said that his joy had been robbed, but God reminded him of the paths that he had walked, and that under a rock one day he found his joy, and that the devil's never taken it from him again. Hallelujah. Simple reminders. Simple reminders. That's who God is. He's a simple reminder of the faith that you should have and the faith that you need to walk in. Then why is it that the church house is so busy running and seeking the whirlwind today? Why is it that the church house is so busy running and seeking the earthquake today? Why is it the church house is so busy running and seeking the fire today? It's kind of like video games. In the wind, in the quake, and in the fire is instant building up and gratification. It's instant. Makes me happy. In the video game, when I beat the level, I'm happy. The problem is that when it comes to substance, it takes a little bit longer to really get a hold of it. We don't have to run anywhere to find God. He's here. Amen. We don't have to look any further to find out what God's trying to say to us. He's here. And what he's trying to say to you tonight is, if you're just a fire seeker, if you're just a quake seeker, if you're just a wind-blown child of God, the next thing you're going to know is you're going to be alone, and you're going to be without joy, and you're going to be without strength, because there's no substance to your walk, because you haven't sought that still small voice.
Amen.
So why is the church where it's at? Because we want to be told we're all right. Well, I'm going to tell you something tonight, church. You're not all right. But I'm perfect. My wife said, I'm not all right either. I'm not. I make mistakes. Sister Terry, last year you saw me make one. What happened had to happen. I didn't have to happen the way it happened, but it had to happen. You know, I'm sorry. I'll say it publicly. I'm sorry you had to see that. Sometimes we have to deal with stuff in the body. And sometimes it gets... How many of y'all ever had a splinter get under your skin, and a week later that thing is really causing you trouble? Why did you live with it for a week? We always wait until it festers to get rid of it instead of getting rid of it before it festers. Why did we live with it for a week? Elijah's sitting in this cave and God's saying, what are you doing here? Why are you living here? This isn't where I called you to be. I'm reminded of Pharaoh with frogs. Moses said, when you want rid of these frogs? And Pharaoh goes, tomorrow. Why are you going to live with the frogs another night in your bed? When God's ready to get rid of them tonight, today, he's ready to show up right now, and he's ready to speak in a still small voice that says, you are my child and I love you. And even though you're not exactly where I want you to be, as long as you continue to walk with me, I'll bring you into right relationship with me so that we can walk together and we can get that splinter out of your finger. We can get you out of the cave. We can get you up and away from the frogs. Hallelujah. Isn't it good to know that even though those other movements of God are powerful, and they are movements of God, make no mistake, I'm not putting down Azusa Street. I'm glad for it. I'm thankful for it. We trace our heritage back to it. I'm not putting down a Smithton outpouring or a Pensacola revival. I'm not putting them down. People were saved and they came to the powerful knowledge of who Jesus is. Walks were deepened. They were enriched. But if it's a real move of God, where's it at today? I want to see a move of God that lasts. How many of y'all have ever been in a really healthy church? Raise your hand. How many of you are in right now a really healthy church? Raise your hand. I've never seen a healthier church than New Beginnings. You have more cheering on Sunday sometimes than adults. That's a mark of a healthy church. You're not just an old congregation and you're not about to die out. That's a mark of a healthy church. You're training up a young generation to take your place. That's the mark of a healthy church. Is there more that can be done here? Yes. Is it my job to tell you what it is? No. It's his. And he will. Now, you know what your job is? Your job is to be like he is for this place in your family. Your job is to pray and get a word of God for direction for your family. Oh, man. Can you imagine what it would be like if you had a Sister Robin Dennis in this church? Sister Robin Reyes, I guess. I keep calling her by her old name. She got married. That woman's drugged more people through our doors than anybody else I've ever seen. And all of them are rough. I mean rough folk. Come in reeking of the alcohol they ingested the night before. But set through servants reverently. Why? Because God has brought them to a place. You need a Robin Reyes in this church that just drags them in and doesn't give them an option. No, 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 no. You ain't coming. I'm coming to get you. And I will be at your house at 9 o'clock. And you will be ready. Or I'm coming in and putting your clothes on you. And she means it. And they know it. Brother Mike, that's not my ministry. You know what? When you get a real burden for people who are lost, it will become your ministry. Why? Why is that? Let me tell you why it is. Come on, team. It is thus wise. One night you were laying in your bed and God spoke to you. There are people who are dying and going to hell. And they really need a touch from me. And I want you to pray for this person, and for that person. One night, you, church, you, everybody in this place, will be lying in bed, and God will come, and he will lay. There's an old hymn that says, God lay some poor soul upon my heart. He will come and do exactly that. He will lay a soul upon your heart. And when you're laying there in bed at night, remember, a short redheaded Brother Mike said this once. When you're laying there in your bed at night, and that person is laid on your heart and you don't know what's going on. It's not for you to know what's going on. It's for you to pray. So don't hesitate. Don't wait until in the morning because you're going to lose your burden. Hit your knees at that point. Your rest is going to be sweeter on the other side of your prayer than it'll ever be laying in bed trying to shake off the notion of God. Hit your knees and pray for your brother. Hit your knees and pray for yourself. I feel something in this place. I believe God's going to lay some poor souls on your heart tonight. Hit your knees and begin to pray. And as you begin to pray, you're going to find out that that brother or sister who you didn't know what they were going through were going through such a fiery trial that it brings you to your knees. And all you can say is, oh, Lord God. Oh, God, you knew. Thank you. Because you'll know you're the one that stood in the gap for them in their hour of need. And there's no money in the world and there's no revival in the world that can take the place of that still small voice that comes to you in the middle of the night and says, pray. And you know it was your prayer. Because God trusted you enough. I want you to think about this. Well, my mama sent me down to the grocery store for a loaf of bread back in the day. She'd always give me a quarter and say, and get yourself one of them jawbreakers. How many of y'all ever had one of them jawbreakers? I remember she broke her rolling pin trying to crack one of those jawbreakers so I could eat it. And that quarter and that jawbreaker was so sweet. Why? Because she trusted me to walk over the hill, get the loaf of bread, and come back. The sweetness of rest will come to your soul when you're in God's will, doing what He's trusted you to do. So when you're laying there in the middle of the night and you're crying out to God on behalf of a brother or sister and you don't even know what's going on, understand this: God will always be faithful and rest will come. I was in Iowa City one night and I was so shaken. God said, you need to pray for Steve. Steve is my twin brother. And I said, okay, God, I'll pray. And I hit my knees and I just cried out. I said, God, I don't know what's going on, but whatever it is, if it's an affliction in his body, touch it. If it's an affliction in his mind, heal it. God, whatever this problem is. And I began to just pray for Steve. Called him in the morning. I said, what's wrong? He said, I had a grand mal seizure and I was in the hospital all night long last night. He was in the Quad Cities. I was in Iowa City. I didn't know. What are you talking about? I'm talking about God waking you up in your hour of need. I called my mom a few weeks ago. I said, Mom, what's going on? I'm good. I said, what's going on, Mom? I'm fine. I said, Mom, you're lying. You used to call me out. I'm calling you out. What's going on? She said, I've got pneumonia again. Was just in a car accident. And I blacked out at the wheel twice, Mikey. When God laid her on my heart the day before, she was driving. In that car accident, she fractured her number one vertebrae and didn't know it. She passed out at the wheel. Oh, that's just because you're a preacher. No, it's because I'm willing. That's all it is. God's no respecter of persons. If we could really understand that statement, oh, what a powerhouse we'd be. God doesn't think of me better than he thinks of you. When you've asked him to forgive you your sins, like I have, we the same. We're the same. A month and a half ago, God woke me up in the middle of the night and said, pray for Carol Wayne Slayton. A lot of you don't know him. Some of you do. He put it this way. He's a pastor we did service for in April. And I said, God, what's going on? He said, pray for him. Come to find out, he was going through probably one of the hardest, most fiery trials he's had to face thus far. His mom's older. Her health's failing. And he had to make the decision to put her in a nursing home. And God trusted me enough to pray for somebody I don't know. Are you hearing me? I pray that God loves this ministry team enough that he'll wake you up in the middle of the night and say, pray for Brandon Owsley. Pray. And you may never know why you're praying for him, but God didn't call you to know. He just called you to pray.